determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line, hopefully from the East, Bob Griswold. We're going to be talking about making preparations for what I believe are going to be very difficult times that lie ahead. Now, what are those specific things? Well, right now we hear a great deal about the fact that the president is planning on attacking Iran. Now, he doesn't necessarily say that, but he's doing exactly the same thing to justify a war with Iran that he used to justify a war with Iraq. Seymour Hersh has recently written an article for New Yorker magazine, and he has all sorts of contacts within the military, within the intelligence agencies. I've followed Seymour Hersh's reputation in articles for many years, and I find him very, very accurate. And he says that they are planning on an attack on Iran. Many of the military people are very unhappy about this. They think that we should not be attacking Iran. And some of them may very well resign their commissions, and give up their professions, rather than compromise and go along with an unnecessary attack. But I don't even think that the average military person really understands the implications of what would happen if we were to attack Iran, because there are all sorts of terrorist cells here in the United States, the Iranian terrorist cells that are just waiting for the word to be given, and our government knows that. It would be very easy for a passing ship to lob a nuclear bomb into New York or into Miami or any one of the major ports along the East Coast. What people do not understand is that there really are people out there who look at the world differently than you and I do. They want conflict. They want carnage. They want bloodshed. And it's very difficult to understand the First World War and the fact that it could have ended in 1915, but there are people who wanted that war to continue until there was as much horror as possible. It's very hard for people to realize that the Germans, had, generals, had offered to surrender repeatedly, and we would never talk to them. It's very hard for people to understand that the Japanese had been trying to surrender for 5 or 6 months before we dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and we wouldn't allow that. The only way to understand this is to understand that there is a thing, there is a force out there that relishes chaos, and believe me, if we do attack Iran, there will be, I believe, serious consequences. And are you prepared for a major calamity here in the United States? Are you prepared to have hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants who have been organized by the Communist Party demonstrating violently in cities across America intent upon the disruption of our nation? A movement which has been funded by our very own government and by the Ford Foundation and the other tax-exempt foundations, which are funding LULAC and MALDAVE and the other illegal immigrant organizations. I would like to suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that nothing is as it appears to be, and you need to be prepared to look after yourself and your family. And the great tragedy is, I don't think most people are. Well, with us this evening is Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources. Bob does help Radio Liberty, but we always enjoy having him on because he's an excellent source of information and certainly knowledge about what you should be doing to prepare yourself and your family if there is a cataclysmic event. And whether it's an epidemic, or whether it's a financial collapse, whether it is millions of illegal immigrants demonstrating and tearing our nation apart, it really doesn't matter. It'll just affect you. Well, Bob, why don't you pick up the story there?
So, well, although if you call it well, I don't know, because it's a pretty tragic story of humanity for the last 100 years. The carnage. In fact, I was just speaking with someone last night about the carnage of the communism. Of over 100 million people were killed under communist regimes, and then you add Nazi regimes, and then you add the fact of what we've done worldwide. It really was a century of bloodbath, and it doesn't look like there's an end to it. The arms manufacturers make lots of money. by our young men dying. War is a very profitable business, and that's what we have to break through our thinking, because we don't like to think of war like that. When you and I think of war, we think generally, I like to think of a just war, a war where, you know, someone's attacked me unprovoked and then I attack back. But we have to realize that the defense industry makes billions and billions of dollars. In fact, it's the world's largest expense is the defense complex. And this is just the United States. This is worldwide.
Well, of course, our military budget, though, is greater than the military budgets of the next 20 largest nations in the world combined. In fact, some people say it is greater than all of the rest of the world combined. I wouldn't be at all surprised. And they were the greatest exporter of military supplies and equipment and vehicles of death to other countries throughout the world. We're the greatest
exporter. Say that again,
Doctor.
That's true. A lot of people don't realize that. Why don't you say that again?
We're the greatest exporter of military supplies and vehicles of death to other countries throughout the world today.
And that is true. That's the United States' number one export of the implements of war. And we don't realize that, and yet one of the things that keeps the American economy afloat is the fact that we do export arms. In fact, a lot of people might not realize that just about a year ago, George Bush approved the sale of 24 F-16s to Pakistan that had nuclear capability. Well, that would immediately ratchet up the Indians against that because of the conflict that goes on between those two countries, that we would sell nuclear-capable F-16s, knowing the Indian nation knows very well that those F-16s, if they're used, would be used against them. It ratchets up them that then we go in and sell them more implements of war, of fighting a nuclear war. Now, you have to ask yourself, why would we do that?
That's a very good question, Bob. And even more than that, if Musharraf is the president of Pakistan is overthrown, as I anticipate he will be very soon, all those weapons will be in the hands of Al-Qaeda. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Griswold, and we've simply been talking about the fact that America recently has sold a number of nuclear-capable F-16 jets to Pakistan, and Bob was simply pointing out that there, certainly if the Indians, who have a constant and long-standing feud with the Pakistanis, are very concerned about the Pakistanis having F-16 jets that could carry nuclear weapons. But I was simply pointing out, even more frightening than that, is the fact that Pakistan is a very unstable country. In fact, Musharraf, who's the dictator that we are keeping in power, is hated by his people and hated by his military, and there is a very good chance that he will be overthrown when we attack Iran, which will mean that the radical Islamists, the Al-Qaeda and their supporters, and of course this is the radical form of Islam, will now control Pakistan. They will control their missiles. They will control their nuclear weapons, and of course they will control their F-16s, which we have sold to them. Why would we do something that stupid unintentionally? This will make Israel and all of Europe susceptible to a nuclear attack from a radical Islamic country. So,
and, Doctor, it also keeps the production lines open. It keeps lots of people busy building F-16s. It brings hard currency into our country. And there's financial reasons for it as well as that, and really, that's what people consider, is how much money will it bring. We don't consider the fact that it's a geopolitically destabilizing event to do that, because again, anybody who's familiar with world events today realizes that the Pakistan nation and the nation of India are at odds with one another, and so it's been brought to the point of a hair trigger before, and it's been de-escalating, and it escalates and de-escalates periodically. But to send over there the ability to fight a nuclear war in a better manner, It has to be a form of insanity to do that, for the average person to look at that and to think, what are we doing?
Well, I think, Bob, it's not a matter of insanity. I believe there are evil and wicked people in the world who really do want carnage, and it's so hard for the average individual to imagine that. But if any of our listeners out there would like to actually see the article we got out of the Chicago Tribune on the very day that the peace treaty with Japan was signed, where it points out the Japanese have been trying to surrender for 5 or 6 months, and the attack on Iwo Jima, and Okinawa and the dropping of the two nuclear bombs was totally unnecessary. When you understand that, you can begin to grasp the degree of evil that we're aligned against. So our plea is begin thinking about how you are going to protect yourself, because you cannot depend upon the government. We used to have a civil defense system that was set up to protect the American people. They disbanded that, and now we have FEMA that is there to control the American people, but not to help us at all. You can see how effective they are. If you've read what happened in New Orleans, where they did everything, FEMA did everything they could to block other people from coming in and helping and rescuing people. An awful lot of people died because of FEMA. They were cutting communications for the local police, everything to disrupt the efforts by the local community to handle what was going on. And you have to ask yourself, why would they do anything like that? They're stupid.
I don't think they're stupid at all.
I think they know what they're doing. So, Bob, what should people be doing now to begin to protect themselves?
Well, Doctor, I'd also ask, why would law enforcement go through and disarm honest Americans who are defending their property, their homes, and in some cases their wives and their lives? And why would they go in and disarm those people?
I think
that's what they did.
If the American people would put up with it. Now, that was the local police. That was the federal army. Military units were there in violation of our own laws, the Posse Comitatus law. They sent in federal troops, which was a total violation of the laws of this land. But I think they wanted to see if the American people would allow them to violate our laws. They sent in professional murderers, the Blackstone. These are professional mercenaries hired over in Iraq. They flew them back to actually protect the streets of New Orleans. Why didn't they use the National Guard? Well, some of them were there, but most of them were over there protecting our freedom in Iraq. But, Bob, what should people be doing?
Well, again, Doctor, I think if you just look at what the people in New Orleans needed, I do believe that almost with pure certainty that we are headed for the greatest calamity that humanity has known. I think that the world designer, these people you've talked about, you have it on your website, that war is meant to control population. They want to decrease what they consider the surplus population of the world. It makes them a lot of money in the process, and, you know, they look at without so many people to control, it'll be easier to control them. I think it's there. All people have to do is read it, and largely people don't want to read. But if you just look at New Orleans, for instance, what did people need? First of all, you need to have a storage of food in your home. You need to have, you know, the ability to purify water. You know, the thing is that there was water everywhere in New Orleans, but none to drink. And even the most foulest, wicked water that was there can be made drinkable without too much effort. It's not a hard thing to do, to extract the good water from the dirty ingredients in it. Even water that's been contaminated with petrochemicals, human waste, salt. There's all different types of ways to clean water. But very few people had that capability. I personally believe that we are going to have a nuclear war. I believe that the armies of the world are going to unleash the most unbelievable weapons that we don't even know that have been designed yet, and quite a few people in the process are going to lose their lives. I don't think there'll be a civilian in a military. I think it'll be an all-out war, just like it was in World War II, where civilian populations were targeted and bombed for terror purposes. I think that'll happen again. The fact is that that's what the word terrorism means, is they want to, they're not going to go up against the military. They like to inflict terror upon the civilian population. And that's going to happen in the United States. It's only a matter of time, Doctor, and when it happens, I can promise you, just this bird flu scare, has almost depleted the ability of like companies like Mountain House and Alpine Air to keep up with people buying food supplies. If you don't believe me, you can go to mountainhouse.com. There's an 800 number. You can call them and ask them, how long is it before I can get a food supply today? And they're going to tell you, probably July, June, July.
In other words, they really do not have the supplies on hand that they had here 6 months ago.
No, they don't, no. So what I'm saying, Doctor, you can go to mountainhouse.com. There's an 800 number right there. Call them up and ask them yourself. You know, and that was just the hint of a worldwide pandemic. And with the natural disasters that have happened over the last couple of years, you know, starting with the tsunami and the hurricanes and all these other things, people are starting to buy. Well, you let a major disaster happen, like an attack on Iraq or a major terrorist event happen on the United States, and the production dates won't even matter because you won't get it. And again, call them and ask them for yourself. So that's the things I tell people. If you don't have the ability to store food in your home or don't have a food storage program, you don't have to buy Mountain House. You don't have to buy Alpine Air. You can go down to your grocery store, but start stocking food. Now, I believe the long-term food is the best. It's canned. The Mountain House lasts 30 years in the cans. So you can put it away. You have that peace of mind. It's a 30-year investment. And if the food supply does dry up, which I believe it will, through plague, over-harvesting, there's a myriad of reasons out there today that the food supply cannot keep up with the population, and that food production, the cost of it is going to keep escalating because of oil, fertilizers are made out of oil, and so forth. And you realize that with the tension between America and Mexico right now, that how much of our produce is produced in Mexico, the possibility of bioterrorism, food that's being contaminated because, you know, if we don't let all the illegal aliens in our country, they can contaminate half the food that comes into the country.
And, of course, I really believe that people have to understand there's a spiritual element to everything that happens. And if you read the scriptures, you find that when a nation is turned against God, God always brings a vengeance and judgment on that nation. Then, is there anybody in the listening audience who does not believe that America has turned its back on God? You go into our churches and hear the drums beating and the same sort of music that you'd see on MTV, and understand that many of our ministries have changed the entire message of the gospel. We no longer have a God that we have to respect. Like, we have a God that just loves everybody, and there's no judgment, there's no hell, there's no retribution, there's no fear of God among our leaders or among our people. And whenever that happens, why, eventually that nation is destroyed.
Doctor, I'm a collector of old books. You might not know this, but I do like to collect old religious books, specifically from the 15th and 16th and even 17th century. And when you read Puritans and people who had an understanding of God, they held a different view of people who could, you know, just keep, you know, I believe in Jesus, but keep living the way they do. It was unknown to live that way. There was a real change, and today we see America with our fake religion, you know, just making people feel good, and yet God's not fooled by it, and it's like you said, that there's a judgment day for everyone. Nations don't experience in the afterlife. Nations experience it in the present. And America is experiencing right now the judgment of God, and it's going to keep experiencing the judgment of God in greater and greater measure until we repent or we're destroyed. And that's the history of the world.
And I would simply point out that we are living in very uncertain times. For those of our listeners who are watching the price of precious metals are like a canary in a mine shaft. Miners take a canary down in the mine shaft because when the canary drops over dead, they know there's poison gas there. And when there is instability in our society and there's about to be a cataclysmic change, the price of gold and silver goes up. It hasn't in the past because it's been so tightly controlled. But today, the price of silver went up over 50 cents. The price of gold went over 50 cents an ounce. The price of gold went over up to $600 an ounce. Somebody knows that we are on the edge of something very significant. Financially, spiritually, as far as the stability of our nation is concerned. Because remember, an unstable currency leads to an unstable nation, and you cannot have a stable nation and society if you have an unstable currency. And there's been an organized effort on the part of the people who have controlled our Federal Reserve System to create an unstable nation. Well, Bob, let's get your telephone number and your website out right now, and then we'll be back to it in just a minute.
Okay, I just want to mention that if people call, to call after the program, but I'll be here for about another hour after the program. They can call me at 800-627-3809. That's 800-627-3809 or readymaderesources.com. And I'll give that back when we get back from the message.
All right. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Bob Griswold. And Bob, let's just talk about what sort of things people should have. You mentioned they should have food. They should have a means of purifying the water. What sort of things should they have for the water?
Well, I think one of the big things I think that you sell is the Big Berkey water filter. I think it's an excellent water filter. It has it's high capacity. You know, so if you have a family, you can get quite a few gallons. I think that's 24 gallons a day for just the Big Berkey of purified water. That's 99.99% pure from biologicals. bacteria, and then you, all your chemicals like your farm runoffs, your leads, arsenics, mercuries, fluoride, chlorine, all those things are can be taken out with a big Berkey. But also that if you think you might have to go portable, and I do a lot of outdoor work, hiking. I work with a youth group. We go hiking a lot. I bring the Katadyn pocket filter with me, so I can stick it in a stream, a mud puddle, anywhere I find any extra water and pump out biologically pure water. So there's a couple ways to approach it. One is like a fixed thing, the big Berkey, where you can put it on your countertop. And the other is a portable water filter. We also sell desalinators. If you live by the ocean or brackish water and you want to desalinate water, we have ways that you can desalinate water. So, you know, the ocean's everywhere. You can pump out salt-free water right out of the ocean with a desalinator. Those are some things that people need to think about. Again, water storage. You have a hard time storing as much water as you need, but everybody should have some stored because you go through it so quick, but so you need a way to replenish it. Rainwater harvesting. We have books on rainwater harvesting, how to collect water out of your gutters, how to store water, all those different types of things. And again, I cannot emphasize the fact, Doctor, I believe that we are coming upon a time when the food supply of long-term storage food will not be able to keep up with the demand of it, because when these big calamities start coming down, again, this year, if we have more hurricanes, the sources have already been wiped out from the last couple of years. It's just going to get more and more dramatic as we cannot keep up with people that wanting to ensure that their family's safety is there by buying it. Again, you can call the companies and verify this. We have the Mountain House, we have the Alpine Air, and we also carry the dehydrated food lines. I would have, those are the three things that I would absolutely have is first of all, a food storage. I would have the ability to purify water and to have purified water. And then I would also have the ability, even if a radio, to have some type of solar charger where I could recharge batteries all the way up to a whole house solar system. Right now we are speaking complements of my solar system. During the day today, we had all our solar panels out there. They collect the energy. It's stored in batteries. It runs back through an inverter, and it's energizing the phone system we speak through. So it has a practical use day to day. It lowers my electric bill. But in an emergency, Doctor, I've had people actually call the power company and say, how did you get their power turned back on and not ours? Well, we're using the power that we had from our energy system. And that's where people can go. Some state governments today are giving huge incentives for people to go into solar energy and alternate energy forms. So we work with those rebate programs. But, and just so people know, solar panels today are in extremely rare demand, large solar panels, because most of them are going over to Europe, they're going over to the Orient, where they're light years ahead of us in developing alternate forms of energy. We're playing catch-up, and because of that, you usually have to put your order in for solar panels about 12 weeks in advance right now.
Yeah, because I remember when I put our solar panels in, you could buy them just yesterday.
No, you can't do that anymore. If you want the large wattage solar panels that are approved for rebate programs, which most people are going with...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources. We're just talking about making your preparations. Bob was talking about certainly the solar systems that are available for anybody who wants to get into something that large. You can simply get a small system that will allow you to recharge your batteries, and at least so you'll have access to the news over the radio. And then, of course, Bob, do you carry the large drums that people can store water in?
Yes, I do. I would also recommend, if you want new ones, we do carry them, but sometimes just a helpful hint for people, if you have a Coca-Cola bottling plant or a Pepsi bottling plant, or a lot of times they sell those used drums for maybe $5, $10 a piece. The drums aren't expensive, but the shipping is. So if you want new drums, which are the best because they don't have any smells in them or any past uses, so if you use a used drum, you want to make sure you run it through your big Berkey or Katadyn water filters to get all the... You know, the probably the pickle juice taste of the water out, or the Coca-Cola taste of the water out, and the filters will do that. But yeah, again, keep in mind that the average person is going to need a gallon or 2 gallons of water today to live. So you can go through a lot of water really quick. The ability to recycle water and to harvest water and to collect water that's from typically unusable sources such as pond water or lake water or even mud puddle water, that's very important today. And the Big Berkey and the Katadyn will do that.
My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question for Bob, but he's on the front lines of this. You've been actually involved in selling preparedness equipment for how long?
Well, ready-made resources have been in business for 12 years. And we've equipped quite a few people, not only just with materials, but I enjoy talking with people if they have questions about their particular circumstance. If I live in an apartment, how do I do it? If I live by the ocean, can I get water from there? How do I make energy from? If you have flowing water in your property, you can make energy. If you have falling water, you can make energy. If you have wind, if you have sun, all those are ways to make energy. And then again, food storage. I cannot emphasize the food storage more than anything, because if you look at what happens when there's a natural disaster, you have to get in the food line with everybody else and take what they give you at their cost. I don't want to be there, doctor, and I'd rather have my food for 10 years and never need it than to need it and wish I'd bought it a day earlier and have to go to some food line and be coerced into doing whatever they want me to do because my little boy is hungry, and God willing, I won't be there.
Well, of course, there's been an increasing interest in acquiring the things that people need. In other words, you're seeing many more people doing this than you did a year ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Beginning to make preparations.
The bird flu thing, I think it's going to be a pandemic that will be unleashed on humanity in some form. I think we're being told that today, and I think all of a sudden, if you say it long enough, people will start to expect it, and when it's expected, it'll happen. I could be wrong, but it just seems like that's the way things work. And again, it fits in the goals of people who want to eliminate a large percentage of the population of the world. World War I ended because of an epidemic of flu. Too many people got sick. You just couldn't fight anymore.
And there's that old adage, when I look and behold a pale horse and the rider upon it was death, and power was given to kill a quarter of the population of the world by the sword and by hunger and by pestilence, which is disease. So, this would be a biblical episode as well, and do not ignore this. At least make your preparations and hope and pray that none of these things ever happen. But I would also watch the canary in the mine shaft, and that is watch and see what's happening to gold and silver. We'll be talking about that this next hour. But they are running through the roof. I have not seen anything like this since, going back to 1979. Something big is about to happen. I don't know what it is. Is it an attack on Iran? Will it be terrorist attacks in America? Will it be violent demonstrations? Imagine what would happen if the Senate of the United States refused to give, citizenship or amnesty or call it what you will to the people who are here illegally that have been brought in with the full help of our government. Our government could stop this foolishness tomorrow simply by enforcing the laws and making it is already a crime to knowingly hire an illegal alien. And yet we actually have many of our major corporations are doing it, and the government will not take action against them because they want the illegal immigration problem so they can play Hispanic against whites and whites against Hispanics. And what you're seeing, is financed today by the Ford Foundation, which is finances Lulac and Maldave and the entire illegal immigrant movement. But don't feel bad. Lulac gets an awful lot of money from U.S. tax dollars funds. It's directly from our government, authorized by our Congress, funding the organizations for illegal aliens. It doesn't make any sense. Unless you understand, it's not supposed to make sense. There are people here who want to disrupt our society. If anybody honestly thinks these are spontaneous demonstrations, they just sort of happened. They don't read the communist papers as I do. These
organized.
These things have been organized for a long period of time. But we can't let the American people that can. No. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we've got Richie calling from New Orleans. Hi, Richie. How are you doing? Richie, let's see. Richie, are you there?
Yes, there I am.
All right, fine. Were you in New Orleans when the great Katrina struck?
Well, yes, not at the actual time. That Saturday, my mother started to panic because it was just about 150 miles in the and the Gulf, but it was directly headed for New Orleans. And the call to leave was had already been put out. And the culture of New Orleans, Dr. Stan, I'm 48 years old, and I grew up here. I remember Betsy and Camille, and the attitude back then was, especially people of my age, was, hey, it's a hurricane party, and we'll just get drunk, and we'll have a good time, and it's not anything to take seriously, or, and the arrogance of that attitude, Doctor, which lends itself to this area, this laissez-faire New Orleans party, we're the party capital, we know how to have a good time, and that whole pagan Roman Catholic shroud that's over the city. And it wasn't until actually the year before last, when Ivan came, that I really started to realize when those people say get out of town, you best get out of town, because it's a serious, obviously it's a serious affair. So we left that Sunday morning at about 6 in the morning and got up to Starksville, Mississippi, which is around 200 miles, 250 miles from here. And needless to say, it was an anxious evening, and we were up all night, barely sleeping, and got to the television as early as I could to see this radar imaging of this huge hurricane with the perfectly defined eye heading right over my area. So we were told the next day, you can't come back to New Orleans, and we headed up to New York, where my sister lives, and stayed there for a month, and really did not know what the condition of our property was. However, though, we did access this satellite imaging that you can, you know, you can punch in the address. And from New York, I did see the condominium complex where I stay. The roof was on it, and when I knew my house was okay, I saw the image of the pool that we have at our condo, and the water was clear. So I knew in my area of town we didn't get any damage.
All right, fine. Well, do you have a question then for our guest this evening?
Well, I wanted to know with the influx of it said that the Global 2000 and the powers that be want to destroy 90% of the population. I don't see how the influx of millions of more people.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources. And, of course, we have Richie, who's calling us from New Orleans. And he was just saying that he's read about this plan to destroy 90% of the world population. And he doesn't see how this influx of all these illegal immigrants is going to help them in their effort to destroy 90% of the population. Is that your question, Richie?
Yes, it seems to me if we're increasing the population, it's sort of counter to the point.
All right. Would you like to try to address that, Bob, or do you want me to take that?
Well, I can do it. You look at it. We're not really. It's kind of like Walmart. You know, when Walmart comes to a community and say they're creating new jobs, they're really not creating new jobs. They're just closing other businesses and taking the jobs away from those other businesses. We're not creating more people. We're actually creating a situation where there'll be more racial conflict, more racial hatred that'll help eliminate more people. It's really a dual standard. You bring more Mexicans in here, and really, you want to have your country flooded with people who don't hold your values or culture or civilization? No, they know that. They know that different cultures bring racial tension. So what do? They make sure they bring all the more the merrier. What happens? You have an explosion. You bring America into civil war. And I think that's where it's heading. I think that's what they intend. And so you really, the net result of it is you decrease the population. And so the net population isn't increasing, and that's what we see these diseases and other things coming about that they plan on wiping out through disease, pestilence, famine, billions of people. So I don't think we're really increasing anything. I think we're just creating the situation right to make it that we can reduce the population.
Richie, I think that we are going to see nuclear war.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is a very effective means of limiting the population, especially since the Bush administration steadfastly refuses to stockpile the medicines that would save countless millions of American lives. And you have to ask why they're doing that. Why did they disband our anti-ballistic missile system here? We had an effective one back in 1970 that guarded our cities and guarded our ICBM sites, but we can't figure out how to build one today. That doesn't make any sense.
It's scandalous, Doctor, and the influx of illegal immigration and Latinos in New Orleans is just, it's devastating. You cannot go down the street. It's as if I used to live in Los Angeles, and I could see it back then, and this was 20 years ago. And it's just like that here in New Orleans, and there's a cultural divide, as your guest was saying, a language barrier. It's overwhelming.
And I guess they were actually encouraged to come to New Orleans after the after Katrina hit there. Because they were told there were good jobs there. You could get $16 an hour, and you didn't have to have any identification. This whole thing is planned. You know, Mexicans are good people. They're hardworking people. Many of them are God-fearing people. But they are being used just as we're being used. They want conflict. They want racial strife. They know exactly what they're doing. So don't sell them short. They're much smarter than we are. And besides that, there are demonic forces that are energizing the people who are coordinating what's going on today. Anything else you want to say, Richie?
I'd just like to ask one more question, yes. As someone who is an apartment dweller, actually it's a condo, with no land or any sort of access to make your own food, what is the best way for a middle-income person, the best foods to stock, say, from your average grocery store?
And well, best foods to stock, the cheapest will be, first of all, you need protein and carbohydrates. Rice, starch crops, rice, potatoes are very good, very cheap products that you can buy to provide carbohydrates, complex carbohydrates, not simple candy bar carbohydrates. And then also then beans, and that will produce good quantities of protein. Now, you want to spice those up. People will get sick of eating that day in and day out.
We know how to do that down here in New Orleans.
Yes, you sure do. I love your Cajun food.
Yeah. So I meant for the storage,
by
for the
kind
long
of spicing
life.
That you like to spice up the food, but that's what you can stock. Even if you can drive out of the New Orleans area with a pickup truck and bring some buckets with you and go to places that produce corn or produce potatoes and buy them, you can dehydrate them, but you can buy dehydrated potatoes fairly cheaply in quite a few places. And just store it in a manner that you keep the moisture away from it. If you need to, we sell the oxygen absorbers. You can throw one in a bucket, and it takes all the oxygen out of the bucket, so you store the food properly. You store it with low moisture. And you can store quite a bit of food very cheaply. If you have a Costco near you, you can go there and pick up, dehydrated potatoes, rice, and all those starch crops, carbohydrate crops, and then also supplement it with protein crops. And then don't forget to throw in, what they call psychological foods, of things if your family likes brownies or whatever they like. I'm just saying something that breaks the monotony up of regular food. It's called food fatigue, and you will get it if you eat that stuff every day. So you want to put things in your diet that you do like. They might not be the best for you, but sometimes it's necessary to have things in there, especially if you have young children, that will spruce it up. And you can do that fairly inexpensively.
Well, thank you for the information. It truly is a blessing.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Richie. And let's go to Daryl, who's calling from Johnstown. Is that Johnstown, Colorado?
No, Johnstown, New York.
Okay, Daryl, did you have a question?
Up in the hills with all the animals.
All right, fine.
Sardines might not be a bad idea to stock, too.
Okay, if you like sardines, you go for it.
Or try even dehydrating fish.
All right.
Dehydrated fish, or but again, the thing is to get a protein crop in your food storage, because your body does need it to do them for the muscles.
Fish is very, very good for you, though. It's just a wonderful thing. That was my point. My point was, there's a lot of demonstrations going on right now with Mexicans burning American flags and showing Mexican flags, and I think what they really should be doing is demonstrating against Fox and the government of Mexico. It's a dictatorship. They have a country there that has a beautiful climate. We're probably growing all types of produce, as far as exotic fruits and vegetables, where they could sell that and sell it to the world. It would take additives to their soils, and there also are ways of working out where the water could be gotten to that to water the vegetables and the fruits. And I had an argument with somebody today that said, well, gee, what about the cost? What about the cost what we're paying right now?
And I think, Daryl, the important thing you have to understand is that the leaders of both political parties, the wicked people who want to destroy this nation and merge us with Mexico and raise our living standard to that of the Bolivian peasant, they have encouraged this at every turn, and they have refused to enforce our laws. When you understand that we do not have an illegal alien or immigrant problem by accident, it's by intent, and it is all part of the globalist agenda to redistribute our wealth, within nations and between nations, and impoverish the American people, and they're going to do a pretty good job of it if we can't wake the people up.
No, but it's the Mexicans themselves, even the Mexican Americans, who are very proud of not only being Americans, but are also proud of being of Mexican heritage, that should be fighting against this particular, you know, government.
Amen to that. You're absolutely right. But of course, it's not
simply the
Mexicans.
If we could get them together to do that, you know, we have a shot, you know, at least a shot at it.
But, Daryl, it's not the Mexican government alone. It is our own government that is working with the Mexican government. This is the thing. It is our political leaders as well as their leaders. They had a communist revolution in the 1930s that was foisted upon them by people here in the United States. We carry a book called No God Next Door that tells about the Masonic influence in that communist revolution in Mexico that led to the impoverishment of the Mexican people in a two-tiered system, the very rich and the very poor. No God Next Door, fascinating insight into the forces working behind the scenes.
I see your point, and whether I disagree or agree with it, still, the Mexican Americans and the Mexicans that are interested in staying in America could also make a difference, and probably, if they got together, override a situation like that by fighting against the government of Mexico.
All right, God bless you.
The American government may not like it, but if we can make a difference, let's try to make a difference. But they need to be aware of that. And who's going to make them aware of that? Only a patriot.
All right. God bless you. Thanks very much for calling, Daryl. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
No, that. Just fish.
All right, God bless. Thanks so much. And let's go to Ricardo, who's calling from Chicago. Hi, Ricardo. Ricardo, are you there? Ricardo, I don't hear you. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead. Do you have a comment?
Yes, I was calling in reference to ask you about the national ID card and how real is it? I mean, is it something which we can prepare ourselves for, and this Iran-United States affair, how much concern should we be about going into a World War III?
Well, it's sort of like, you know, like putting your hand into the food disposer in your sink. It's something you just don't want to do when it's running. Going to war with Iran is the worst possible thing we could do. I mean, all of Iran's neighbors have nuclear weapons. Pakistan has nuclear weapons to the south. China has nuclear weapons to the east. Russia has nuclear weapons to the north. Certainly, Iran has never threatened America. North Korea has threatened to bomb America. China has threatened to bomb America. So why are we so concerned about Iran? Because there's a timetable there, and I believe we're going into Iran to inflame the entire Islamic world and bring about World War III, and I think we should be very concerned. Don't you agree, Bob?
Well, I definitely do. I mean, you know, in effect, if I just want to tell the person who called Ricardo, there's an effect the national ID card now. It's called your Social Security number. You know, they want to put it on your driver's license. You want to get credit. You have your Social Security number. It's a number that I can go on the internet right now and do a Social Security number check. Actually, if you believe it or not, once I find your Social Security number, I can know everything about you. I can do a database search on you. It's all online. It's all there. Anybody can do it. I can do it. You can do it. And then do your credit history. I can run your credit history. I can run your criminal record. I can run your what properties you own. I can actually get a satellite picture to where you live. I can get directions on how to get your home just from your Social Security number. That is your national ID card.
And I think, of course, these are all stepping stones towards a dictatorship. There really are people who want a dictatorship in America. Our founding fathers realized that. They didn't trust government. They wanted to limit the power of government. And what we're seeing today is leaders of both political parties going right along with the establishment of a dictatorship in America in the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden, who our government has consistently refused to try to capture. So we have to ask ourselves, why didn't we try to capture or kill him before 9/11? Why did we not try to capture him when he was in the Torabora Mountains, a trap there? And instead of course, sending in the Special Forces troops, who readily could have captured him, they hired a group of Afghan mercenaries who supported Osama bin Laden, and all shucks, they let him escape. And then rather than pursuing him into Pakistan and saying, we don't care what anybody says, we're going to get him, because he killed 3,000 Americans, instead of doing that, we attacked Iraq. And where was the outcry from the American people? Anyway, our caller is gone, but I am very concerned about the coming war with Iran. I'm very concerned with the possibility of a ID card, because I think it's a stepping stone, a little bit at a time, towards taking away all of our freedom.
I agree with you, Doctor. That's why I tell people, once the national ID card comes, the microchip, the fact that they want to microchip all animals right now, all farm animals, they want to microchip them, so that you cannot raise an agricultural animal or take it off your property without having a microchip in it. That's law in Congress right now that they plan on implementing in this country.
But wouldn't it be just so convenient if we just microchipped every child as well? That way children could be kidnapped or our children could be lost. And, of course, they always have an excuse for doing it. But you have to understand there's a spiritual implication to all of this. And when you look at the things objectively and ignore the spiritual aspect, you can't figure what's going on. And you begin using your intellect to try to solve an insoluble problem. The issue is that we've been told that the time will come when we neither buy nor sell, lest we wear the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name, which is 666. It's not by coincidence that the logo of the Trilateral Commission, to which so many of our leaders belong, and of course Alan Greenspan and Paul Volcker, chairman of the Federal Reserve System, who created the chaos, the chaotic situation in our monetary system today that is causing gold and silver to spike up. Both of them came from the Trilateral Commission, and their logo is made up, in the center is an upside-down, a broken cross, and the periphery of three sixes. That's not accidental. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to realize the spiritual implications of what's taking place. Bob, let's get your telephone number, your website out, if people would like to get in touch with you.
Yeah, the website people can go visit and has a lot of useful information on it, and our complete catalog is on the website. It's standard spelling, ready-made resources, all one word, no hyphen spaces or anything, ready-made resources. .com. Again, that's readymaderesources.com. After the program, if you have questions, you want to call, if you want to talk about food supplies, water filters, solar, you can call me at 800-627-3809. That's 800-627-3809. I'd be glad to answer any additional questions after the program, or if you want to order a food supply, because again, if you want the Mountain House food, you know, plan on waiting, you know, about 8 weeks right now to get it. And again, Doctor, I fear that if something happens, like a war or a terrorist attack, that'll easily go out to, you know, probably 24 to 36 weeks before you can get it, which might be, you know, not available at that point. You know, you carry the big Berkey if you're interested in the Katadyn, we carry that. And again, solar battery chargers, all that stuff that people might need in an emergency. We have it available on our website. If they want to call and ask about it, they may. But that's what I would tell people to do. Think about what you need. Prayerfully consider it. Don't do it out of fear. Don't do it because you hear somebody like me telling you to do it. Think about it. Evaluate the circumstances the world's in today. Look at what's being done worldwide as far as kind of control people. Make up your own mind and look at it and see if you think it's real. If it is, don't hesitate. If you don't think it's real, just ignore it.
Well, I think anybody ignores what's going on today at their own peril. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we'd love, of course, to have you call Bob. We just have a couple of more minutes before the hour will be over. But I think it's so vitally important, and one reason we have Bob on every month, he does help us here with support Radio Liberty, but we want to encourage people to make preparations. I know the people who've been taking our advice and preparing financially for what lies ahead have done very, very well in the last 6 months, and we get nothing out of this other than the satisfaction of knowing that we're pointing people to the point that they have to be in making preparations. Not only that, but we hope we're pointing some people to our Lord, because this is truly a spiritual battle. Behind everything that's going on are powerful spiritual forces. Remember that back of all that foes have plotted, back of all that saints have planned, behind the schemes of men and demons is a higher hidden hand. Warp and woof our heaven created, every pattern good and wise, oft perplexed it by earthly standards, but good and wise in heavenly eyes. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up the first hour of Radio Liberty. And the second hour, we're going to have Ron Brown. We're going to talk about what's really going on behind the scenes in the financial markets of the world today. Well, Bob, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. Right, just go right ahead.
Well, again, they can call me after the program at 800-627-3809 or visit our website, and there's useful information on there. If you go to the important information links, you can download information on medical. You can download information on purifying water at readymaderesources.com.
Well, I can hear that telephone a telephone ringing already, so if you want to go and answer that, you can, and we'll be talking to you later.
Thank you, Doctor.
Bye-bye, and God
Bye-bye.
Bless you. Okay, fine. Well, that was Bob Griswold, who's on with us every month, and we hope many of you out there will give serious consideration to our warning, and believe me, this is a warning. I look upon my ministry in part like the watchman on the wall that's described in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33. We are to sound the warning. If nobody listens, that's their problem, because their blood and the blood of their family is on their hands. If we do not sound the warning, and we know, of course, the enemy is upon us, why, of course, their blood then is on our hands. And so God has given me this ministry. It's really amazing when you stop and think of it. And here I am, a retired orthopedic surgeon, and leaving medical practice and just setting out to see if there was any way we could influence people, and starting on one station, and today we're heard on 60 different outlets every month. I should say every single week. Some of the programs are half an hour, but many of the programs are an hour a day, and certainly our afternoon programs heard, I should say this evening program, is heard on 30 stations. That is amazing, and I don't take any credit for it at all. I believe I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and I think when you put yourself in God's hands and you follow the path He wants you to follow, why, things do fall into place. And sometimes when you try to do it on your own, you make an awful lot of awful mess out of it. So anyway, our job is to warn you. If you don't want to take the warning, why, that becomes your problem. But I believe every person who believes that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization should begin making preparation, knowing full well that there may come a time when we'll lose all the benefit of all the preparations we've made, and we may have to rely entirely on the Lord for our survival. And of course, if in the process of listening to our programs we've drawn you closer to the Lord and more dependent upon Him, and realizing the spiritual implications of everything going on, that our effort has not been in vain. So again, our telephone number, if you'd like to reach us, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is at war today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty really is listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you agree with me that America faces the worst trials it has ever faced, we are entering a period of crisis and chaos. If you agree that Radio Liberty has a unique message, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you can do that by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters to begin to understand the spiritual dynamics of what's going on, why, of course, you can call that same telephone number. We do hope that many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can pull down our programs 5 hours a day there on the Internet, directly or indirectly, or get our shortwave frequencies. And then, of course, we also hope that you will tell others about our programs and encourage them to listen. We do programs at 3 o'clock every afternoon on the Here's Help Radio Network. We do, that's, of course, Central Time. And then, of course, we have programs early in the morning and mid-afternoon. And then there's this evening program as we reach out across America trying to point people to the fact that we really are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And if you really want to understand how it all fits together, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will take you into the fact that there really are secret societies. And people say, well, why would anybody want to join a secret society? Why? Because you get wealth and power. And, of course, the higher you get in that secret society, the more access you have to the greatest aphrodisiac of all. And that is what Henry Kissinger called it, the access to the power to rule the world. And there really are people who are motivated to do that. But the problem is that they worship a different god. There is a philosophy that there are two gods. There's the god who is to be worshipped, and then the lesser god that created the heaven and the earth. And when I read that just the first of last week, the lesser god that created the heaven and the earth, what are they talking about? What are they talking about? There's some people who worship Lucifer, who they believe is the real god, and the God of the Bible is a second-rate God that really, of course, is more or less to be discarded because he has all of these restrictions on you having a good time. He says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not covet. Or he's a killjoy, that God. And so they want to worship a God that gives him total license. Or as Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist, who was known as the other Loch Ness monster because he had a home on Loch Ness in Scotland. Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist, said, do what thou wilt. That's the whole of the law. That's what we're teaching our children in school today. That's why they took God and prayer out of our schools. That's why they took the Ten Commandments out of our schools. Why? Why, very simply, because they wanted moral anarchy. And this is what we have in America today. And I will tell you that God will not be mocked, and he is going to bring his vengeance on this country unless there is a great revival. And I see very little evidence at the present time, but I pray that it will come. And I just hope that the message we put out, if you can pick the message up and you can bring it to others, that we need a revival or we are going to lose America. And so we hope that many of you out there will certainly pray for revival, that you pray for our leaders, that you pray for Radio Liberty. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But hold your calls just for a few minutes. We have us on the line with us, Ron Brown. And Ron, of course, does support Radio Liberty. He's in the gold and silver coin business. And Ron, I bet it's been pretty busy this last couple of days, hasn't it been for you?
Well, it's been, today's probably the craziest day I've had in, since the Y2K days back in 98-99. So if I fade out on you, it's because my voice is going today. I've been on the phone for like 12 straight hours.
Well, of course, the reason for this was because silver opened up 25 cents up this morning, and then after it closed, after the market closed at about 2:30 o'clock, something like that, 2:33 here on the Pacific Coast, it went up another 25 cents. It went up over 50 cents an ounce today, and gold was up $10, up to almost 600. What's going on?
Well, actually, it was up 53 cents by the time the market closed, and it's up another 25 to 30 cents right now. So it's actually been up 80 cents in the last since Friday's close.
Now, what did it close at today, then?
The spot price of silver was at 1260, and right now it's trading at 1280. It's been as high as 1289 in the aftermarket, so overseas.
In other words, basically what we're seeing is a frantic buying of silver all throughout the world. Because, of course, when the price goes up after the market's closed in the United States, this reflects that other people are beginning to buy silver. And what is going to happen, I don't know whether these are silver shorts that are covering themselves, or that people realize, of course, that the internationalists who have been dominating the financial system of the world for so many years are beginning to lose control. What do you think is really going on, Ron?
Well, I think it's a lot of reasons. It's kind of like a earthquake. You know, a fault line may sit silent without any action for 10, 20, 30 years, but the pressure just keeps building and building and building, and finally reaches a point where it just breaks, and then you have this massive earthquake. Well, the pressures, the inflation of the money supply, and all these things that the government's been doing for the last 20, 25 years, and manipulating the price of gold and silver, but the pressure just keeps building and building and building, and finally people wake up to what's happening with inflation. They see the deficit spinning out of control, whether you're talking the trade deficit or the budget deficit. They hear stories about foreigners refusing to buy our debt and selling our bonds. And so all this starts to add up, and people can't hide and ignore inflation anymore. So once they realize there is inflation, then they have to start investing different, and they have to start to protect their assets from the paper assets, which are losing value as the value of the dollar is devalued. So eventually more and more people start to jump on the bandwagon, and the problem you have, it's kind of like trying to put an elephant in a Coke bottle. You've got hundreds of trillions of dollars of paper money sloshing around the globe, whether it's in U.S. dollars or yen or different currencies, and yet it's all trying to get into a few billion dollars worth of silver, and there's just not enough to go around. So once the exodus starts, then very quickly people wake up. In fact, there's no silver out there to go around.
Well, now, what about the price of gold? What did gold close at today?
Gold got over $600. That's the highest price it's been at since December of 1980.
And, of course, I can remember back in 1980. I'm old, and that's one advantage of being as old as I am, because I can remember what's happened before. I can remember what happened in the 60s. I can remember what happened in the 80s. And I've not seen anything like this for about 26, 27 years. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ron Brown. Of course, I've been telling people all day today, Ron, that of course, if you look at the price of silver, it's like a canary in a mine shaft. The miners take the canary down in the mine shaft, a little cage, so they can watch the canary, because canaries are very, very sensitive to poison gas. And if the canary peels over, keels over, you better get out of that mine shaft. And when you see gold and silver doing what is happening this last week or so, but more so today than any time in recent history, people ought to be aware that some people know something big is about to occur. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And, you know, of course, the media will come out and blame it on war talk with Iran, or they'll make some excuse or some one event that's triggering the whole thing. And really, it's a culmination of many years of the pressure building. It's just finally reaching the point where they can't hold it anymore.
And I think, really, of course, this thing could go. I mean, how high do you think silver could go at this time?
Are you talking in the next 2 weeks? Or next
no, I'm talking to say in the next couple of years.
It sounds crazy when you say this, but if you recall last month when I was on the air with you, I said once silver breaks through 10, you're going to see it make a mad dash towards 15. Now, at some point, you're going to see the powers to be in the banking system. They will figure out some way to try to ambush silver and gold and have a precipitous drop to try to scare people from buying into it. Now, I have no idea when that ambush will come, but I would say this. Whatever the ambush is, and no matter how violent the correction might be, it will be very short-lived, and it's silver will turn right around and head right back up, just as it did back in the late 70s. And so how high can it go? Well, I've seen several predictions on gold. One very conservative prediction said $1,750 gold by the year 2010. But the kicker to their projection was they said silver will go ahead of gold. So they're basically predicting $1,750 silver. Now, that sounds absolutely insane if you talk about it now. But think about it from this standpoint. If the dollar is going to zero, then silver in terms of dollars is going towards infinity. So what is too high for the dollar, for gold and silver in terms of dollars, if the dollar is being repudiated around the globe? And I think that's exactly what's going on.
Well, of course, you've heard about the new red dollar, haven't you?
Yeah, I've heard. In fact, one of my clients got back from London and had some. But then he called me yesterday and said he got some of the same dollars here in the States.
So hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Ron Brown. And certainly one of our mutual friends, Ron's friend and my friend, had actually called me the first of last week and told me that about this story about a general, a brigadier general, who'd been over in Europe, who'd gotten a new red currency. And, an entirely different color. The green was predominantly gone from the currency. So, of course, I'm always skeptical when I hear these stories. Anybody can say something, but the man seemed to be very, very reliable. And then I noticed, that some of the new $10 bills have a lot of red on them. There's sort of a red splotch on the front. So I thought maybe that's what they were talking about. I talked to one of my friends, to Bob Chapman, and he said he'd heard the stories too. And then this last week, I've been on a speaking tour in Southern California, and we were selling tape sets, and one of the bills came in, and there it was. The front of the bill, the green is all gone from the bill. It's all a reddish hue. On the back, they have left a little splotch of green in the very center, surrounded by red. An entirely new currency. You wonder why nobody's talking about it. It's a total destruction of the whole idea of the greenback. Well, there's still a little bit of green on the back, but not very much. They are changing the structure of our currency, and they're saying, this is really all about thwarting the counterfeiters. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what they always say. But what they really want to do is change our currency, and I believe, because it's basically a fiat money system, it has nothing behind it, and I believe they know that we're heading into a catastrophic and cataclysmic situation, and they're preparing for a two-tiered currency. Certainly, are they releasing these bills in the United States today, Ron, do you know?
You know, I really don't know at this time, Dr. Stan, whether there's a difference, whether this is actually the two-tiered currency. I think the concept of a two-tiered currency is legitimate because, let's face it, we're getting to the point where the world is rejecting. They don't want to buy any more of our debt because we're devaluing the currency so much. So in the past, what other countries have done is created two currencies. One would be an international currency, which in my opinion, in this case, they would try to stabilize the value in that international dollar and then float the domestic dollar that they would just print money hand over fist to hold the housing market and everything together. So I can see that happening, but I can't say for sure that this current currency is what that is.
Well, of course, the thing is, my belief is that they, and I just don't know, we're only speculating here, but people throughout the world hold American currency that has absolutely no value. It's a fiat currency. And by definition, the fiat currency is worthless as soon as people begin to realize that it is not worth anything. It is based upon the integrity of the country. It's based upon the ability of the people who have those dollars to be able to come into America and buy things. And there's increasing pressure being put on in Congress to stop other people from other countries coming and buying up things all across America. We wouldn't let the government of Dubai take over our six major ports here. We wouldn't let the Chinese communists come in and buy Unocal. And if you see the list of all of the companies, American companies, have been bought up by foreign foreigners or by foreign nations or by foreign corporations. I mean, it's astounding. Page after page after page. And incidentally, those lists are available in a new syllabus we put together called Financial Tsunami. And you'll actually see how many of our major American corporations, you think they're American corporations? They're not. They're owned by foreigners. But you know, if we want to keep them from controlling America, we're going to have to slap on controls so they can't buy things here. And if they can't buy things here, what are they going to do with the dollars? Why, pretty soon everybody in the world is going to start trying to get out of a dollar. I think that what we're really seeing today is a prelude to that. I'm not certain, but I believe we live in very uncertain times. What are your thoughts, Ron?
I agree totally. You know, the scriptures say the borrower becomes the slave to the lender. And the United States has been dependent on foreigners to fund our folly for the last 20, 30, 40 years. And at some point, anytime you abuse your credit line, the creditor is going to cut you off. And that's exactly what is going on right now. And, of course, the foreigners would like to take those billions and billions of dollars that they're holding and convert them to real things in America, buy out our companies. Of course, as they do more and more in that, that's starting to scare the politicians here. So they're trying to stop them. So now where do the foreigners go that are holding all these dollars that they deem to be soon to be worthless? And so they're trying, I think what you're seeing is the beginning of a mass exodus out of the dollar. Now, where they come up with a rabbit and a trick to hold off the tide one more swing for another 6 months or another year, who knows, but the handwriting's on the wall. You know, the U.S. is so massively in debt, there's absolutely no way we could ever even pay the interest on the debt if foreigners didn't loan us the money to do it.
And right now we're borrowing over $2.5 billion a day just to keep our government afloat. Now, Paul Volcker, writing in April of last year in the Washington Post, said this: the difficulty is this, that this seemingly comfortable pattern can't go on indefinitely. I don't know of any country that has managed to consume and invest 6% more than it produces for long. The United States is absorbing about 80% of the net flow of international capital, and at some point, both central banks and private institutions will have their fill of dollars. I don't know whether change will come with a bang or a whimper, whether sooner or later. But as things stand, it is more likely than not that it will be a financial crisis rather than policy foresight that will force the change. Now, that was written by Paul Volcker, a member of the Trilateral Commission. You remember that their logo is three sixes and in the center a upside down broken cross. And, of course, I believe there are strong spiritual implications to the Trilateral Commission, which Paul Volcker belonged to before he became the chairman of the Federal Reserve System. And then after he left the Federal Reserve, why he became the Northern Hemisphere director of the Trilateral Commission. So he is certainly one of the major movers and shakers of the world. And he's telling us, whether a bang or a whipper, sooner or later, why there's got to be a financial crisis. So, and I really think it's so vitally important that the average American understand what's going on. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to talk to Ron Brown, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Give us a call, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, Ron, were most of your people today buying or selling coins?
No one was selling. Everyone was buying, and it was a combination of people who bought silver, maybe gold and silver, 5 or 10 years ago for Y2K. A lot of them, they've been disappointed with their silver, and they've been wanting to sell it, you know, for the last 3-4 years, and I've been talking people out of doing that, and now they're all of a sudden, it's breaking in, and they've got a good profit. Some of them have doubled their money already. Now they're saying, hey, maybe I better stick more than my toe in the water. Maybe I better just buy some more. So you're seeing more and more people just jumping on the bandwagon, you know, with a bigger portion of their assets rather than just kind of piddling with it.
All right, fine. Well, we have a caller on the line. We've got Pete from San Antonio. Pete, did you have something you wanted to say? I have a question for our guest.
Hello, Dr. Stan. Hello, Ron. Yes, I do have something to say. First of all, if I may, please talk to your audience. I know both Dr. Stan and Ron, they have been very instrumental in providing me with a plenty of spiritual support free of charge. Let me let you know a little bit about myself. I used to own a mortgage on a modest 15-year-old home in California located by Dr. Stan's region, a very affluent area. Some of my friends and pastors thought of me as a wacko for putting my house up for sale last August. Yet I chose to listen to Jesus Christ, and God helped me to sell my home for about $759,000 last September of 2005. And a little bit of advice. Realistically, if I had to resell my home again today, I probably could only get around $625,000 to $650,000 for it. Therefore, if any of you out there are presently trying to sell your home again right now, if you overprice it, you will probably get stuck with the rest of it for your ownership of it. My advice is for you to dump your home as quickly as you can and get out of it. We made a profit of $550,000 after we finished paying the home off that we had lived in. And I turned around and bought a brand new home in San Antonio, Texas, like many other Californians have been doing so. We paid $250,000 cash for the home, and that would have cost me about $1.5 million in California. I am in a gated and very prestigious community. I have a vice president of a bank chain as a neighbor who oversees 75 branches here in Texas. Plus, I invested around $230,000 in precious metals with Ron Brown since last October, and I have netted a profit of almost 46%. Or $103,000 in just 6 months, and we haven't seen nothing yet because if silver goes up to $50 an ounce, and that could be a profit of almost $1 million, and it can go higher than that. My whole point is I'm trying to tell the audience is listen to Dr. Stan and Ron Brown and protect yourselves. Many of my Christian brothers have told me not to worry about my future because God will take care of us. In return, I remind them of the story of how Joseph in the Old Testament listened to God's wisdom and stood the cross for 7 years to protect himself and the people around him. God did take care of Joseph. But I also remind my Christian brothers that God also took care of Naomi and Ruth after they both had lost their husbands. But that even though God took care of Naomi and Ruth, they still lived in poverty and suffering for many, many years, gleaning the fields of crops. So yes, God will take care of us, but God also wants us to use his wisdom and execute his knowledge to protect ourselves. And my question is, do you want God to take care of you the way he took care of Joseph or the way he took care of Naomi and Ruth? I myself prefer to be taken care of the way he took care of Joseph.
And of course, Joseph listened to God's warning and began to make preparations, and not only for himself, but for all the people of Egypt, knowing full well that a difficult time was coming. Pete, thank you so very much for calling. Really appreciate it. God bless you, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and that was an unsolicited call. I knew Pete was going to call in because he asked me if he could, and I said, sure, come on and tell the people. And remember, of course, that we do what we do. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm an amateur historian. Ron is in the gold and silver business. Ron does support us, but the major thing we want to do is to try to get people to make preparations for the difficult times that I believe lie ahead. Right now we have Dan calling from Houston. Is that Houston, Texas?
Poncho Villa City now.
Okay, go ahead. Do you have something you want to say, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering if you ever heard something called the Russian Tsarist Bonds of 1917.
Now, what is it called again?
Russian Tsarist Bonds.
Russian Tsarist Bonds. Those were bonds that were issued by then the Tsarist government?
1917, yeah.
Okay, do you have, I don't know anything about that. Do you know anything at all about Iran?
Well, that was right before the revolution, and the government was overthrown, so I guess the bonds became worthless.
What was your point, Dan?
Oh, well, the bonds have actually been extremely valuable. The British government paid them off.
Did they, really?
Yeah, the, our government was negotiating to pay them off, and was flying over here to actually negotiate it, and the Bosnian War started when his airplane was in the air. I have some of the bonds one. A lot of Americans have them. But the Clinton actually started the Bosnian War the very day they're going to pay off American taxpayers to have those bonds.
I don't really know anything at all about the bonds. I'm glad you're going to do well with them. I do know, of course, that the Tsar of Russia had a great deal of money invested in British banks. And, of course, the Tsar was the cousin of the King of England. I do know from a gentleman, a friend of mine, who actually went through the papers there in the Kremlin. He could read and write Russian fluently. That Lenin offered to send the Tsar to Great Britain, and the King of England said, we don't want him, and that's why he got killed, because they didn't want to give up the money. So money really is what makes the world go around. Forget about your cousins. Anything else you want to say, Dan?
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been contacted by the State Department, but every 6 months or so since the blue wall came down, because they're interested in knowing more about the Russian bonds, because they didn't know what they looked like. So I had to fax a copy of them to them in the early 90s, what they looked like, because they actually negotiated and paying them. And then I was going to say that, then one of the State Department officials, who was on back in the days of McCarthy, was actually listed as a communist, who is still there this very day, a pretty early guy. He's actually made it clear to me that he really is a flaming communist in our State Department as we speak, and he does not want the Russian bonds paid off because McCarthy supported him paying them off.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling. And that was Dan calling from Houston. And anyway, of course, so let's see now. This would have been 50 years ago. The McCarthy hearings were probably 53, 54. So if that man was there at that time, he would now be it's been 53 years from then. So if he was 20 at that time, why, he would be 73 years old. Well, maybe he's still working there. Anyway, certainly we have a large subversive element within our government, but it is only there because the Council on Foreign Relations has always put people of a subversive nature into key positions in our government, because their goal and the goal of international communism is the same. Communism is a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory. It doesn't work without force, and there are people who really want to have an authoritarian system, not only in America, but throughout the world. We installed it in Russia many years ago, and it exists to this day, and Russia is still a communist nation. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is Ron Brown. We're talking about, really about what's happening financially in the world today. Well, Ron, certainly we keep hearing from our government that how well our economy is doing and how many good paying jobs there are and how beneficial it is for us to outsourcing our jobs to other countries and outsourcing our manufacturing to other countries. Is that really true?
Well, of course not. But if you look at our monetary system, it's all based on debt. That debt structure has been building for, 90 years now, since 1913. So we now have a debt structure that is so massive that it has become like a Ponzi scheme, in that you must keep that system growing. So it's a confidence game now. You've got to keep people confident that things are going to be better, because if they ever lose confidence, then they would start to invest different and pull in their horns and quit spending, and then this whole thing would collapse on itself. So, yeah, all of this hype about how wonderful the economy is, in my opinion, is just that. They're trying to keep the confidence level up so to keep the system from collapsing on itself.
Well, I think it's really so tragic and so unfortunate what's happening to General Motors, and the people who are holding General Motors bonds and the people who are holding General Motors stock. You know, certainly the General Motors bonds, and there are $300 billion of General Motors bonds out there. And they've been reduced to below junk level. They really have no claim on General Motors assets. And the stockholders, you know, of course, the stock is, I guess, $18 or $19 a share now. But, you know, the thing is that if you look at the value of those shares of stock, and now that they're having to do their accounting and taking into account the pension obligations that General Motors has promised to pay, the value of the stockholders' share of the General Motors Corporation is minus $43 billion. In other words, they owe $43 billion, the stockholders do, $43 billion more than General Motors' material assets are worth. That's not a very good stock to hold. And then if you're a bondholder beyond that, you're in real trouble, aren't you?
Right. And, you know, of course, if General Motors was allowed to just totally collapse, it would wipe out many fortunes or people's savings. So they have to try to offset what's being destroyed in General Motors by pumping up the real estate market or some other market to create more money than the markets are destroying other places. And that's part of the Ponzi scheme. They just got to keep printing money faster and faster and faster to keep the system from imploding on itself.
Well, my understanding is that they've been massively increasing the money out there, the money supply, since they actually stopped publishing M3. And, we've actually put together a little syllabus that goes into the background of M3 up until they stopped reporting it in, I guess it was the 1st of March of this year. But in recent months, they've massively increased the amount of money. It's just like a drunken sailor in the port. They're creating money like it was just going out of style. And with that, of course, it's going to destroy the value of the American currency. Isn't that true?
Yeah, let me give you just a little illustration to try to paint a picture of why that's happening. Let's just go back to December. Russia, I gave this same analogy last week, but I think it serves to repeat it. Russia announced that they were going to double their gold reserves, which, based on what they had before, meant that they were going to buy approximately 500 tons of gold in the near future. 500 tons of gold represents 20% of total annual world production, but that's in a market that's already running a deficit of somewhere around 1,000 tons a year. So if you add that type of demand on top of an already tight market, you can see where the price of gold would start to rise very quickly, and of course that's what we've seen since December. Now, the second point is that in order to buy that gold, they had to use something to buy it with, and you better believe what they're using is their dollar investment. So they're dumping their dollars into the market to buy the gold, which means if you're dumping the dollars in the market, you're putting a downward pressure on the dollar, and that's what, of course, we've seen happening to the dollar. But here's the real kicker, and here's why I think they had to stop reporting M3. If Russia were allowed to dump those dollars in those bonds is what they're dumping into the open market, and they went unwanted into the market, then the bond market as we know it would crater. But if the bond market craters, interest rates by definition go up. And if interest rates go up, what happens to the economy, especially the real estate bubble? So in my opinion, what the Fed cannot do is allow those bonds to go into the market unwanted. So they must step in and monetize them, and that's why they had to quit printing or showing M3, because they can't show how much money they're printing, because that would destroy the value of the dollar.
And, of course, M3 is not only the money in circulation, it's actually the money they create by banking banking entries. It doesn't have to be real currency. They create money out of nothing. They've been doing it a lot for a long time. And the one thing they fear, of course, is that, you know, when they have to monetize the debt, that means they got to print money or they've got to create money to balance the books. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Ron Brown. We're talking about, really, one of the most exciting days that I've seen in the stock market, in the gold and silver market, in 25, 26 years. Silver just went right through the roof today. And I believe that, you know, they're going to move this up so rapidly that people won't be able to get on board. And then, of course, they'll drop it back a little ways to discourage people and to frighten them to death and frighten them into selling, and then they'll run it up again, because I don't think they have any alternative with the exchange trading fund coming on board, which will absorb an awful lot of silver. There is not any silver out there to be bought by the new exchange trading fund, ETF they call it, and of course that's being established by Barclays. And, you know, for people who want to invest in silver, I'm not saying that's a good way to do it, because you don't know where the president of Barclays is going to go with all of your money. And you can't trust the banks. They've figured ways of stealing from people for many years. But I think that certainly we're seeing, obviously, signs that people are very, very concerned. And I think that the establishment is very concerned, don't you? Don't you think they've been trying to keep the price of gold and silver down for many years, and suddenly they've lost control?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you look at the Morgan Chase and these other international bankers, and they've been selling silver contracts in the COMEX now for the last 10 or 12 years. And even at this point, their short position or the open interest on the COMEX, these are silver contracts. Now, they're paper contracts, which are a claim on silver, but they have sold, the open interest is something like 500 million ounces of silver. So someone has sold 500 million ounces of silver they really don't have to deliver, because there's only about 100 million ounces of silver left on the COMEX, and of that 100 million ounces, maybe 40 to 50 million ounces of it is registered for delivery. So obviously someone has sold what isn't his'n, and as you say, Dr. Stan, they either pay it back or go to prison, except in this case that probably is not the case, because these international bankers are doing the bidding of the central bankers, and their job has been simply to hold the price of silver down by selling massive amounts of silver into the market, even though it's just paper silver. That helps to suppress the price, but now they're losing their shirt, because every time silver goes up a dollar, they're losing $400-500 million, and, you know, $4 or $5 up or $10 up 6 months from now is going to be a lot of money. So I suspect they will come in at some point. This is probably how they will try to correct the market or stop the bleeding, at least temporarily, and that is they'll probably come in and change the rules.
Hold that thought for just a moment right there. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ron Brown, and we're talking about what's happening financially. And really, today, a silver surge, you know, 70, 80 cents an ounce today. The biggest up move I've seen in 25 years. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, if you would like Ron's opinion on what's happening, let us know. Now, Ron is saying that there are tremendous short positions in the silver market. mostly held by people of great wealth, the major banking institutions. And so they stand to lose literally tens of billions of dollars in these markets, you know, if they continue going the way, because they've sold silver, they don't own, they've been manipulating the gold and silver market for years, and suddenly they're beginning to surge upward, and they can't control them. And so Ron was saying he thinks that, of course, they're going to do the honest thing. They're going to change the rules of the market so that they win and we lose. Pick up the story there, Ron. What do you think they're going to do?
Well, just give you one example of how they could do it. And they did this in Tokyo. If you'll recall, a few years back, palladium went from $75 an ounce and just started soaring and got as high as $1,100 an ounce. It was going crazy. And what happened is the Tokyo Exchange came out and literally changed the margin requirements, which is the amount of money you would have to put up to hold a contract. And I don't know exactly what it is now, but let's say to buy a 5,000-ounce contract of silver, you would have to put up $5,000. Well, with 5,000 ounces and $12 silver, you're talking $60,000 worth of silver that you're controlling with only 5,000 down. Well, the market, I mean, the exchange could come out tomorrow morning, as they did on the Palladium Exchange, and say instead of $5,000 margin requirements, we're going to require $25,000 or $50,000. In the case of Palladium, I think they raised the margin to 1.5 or 1.7 times the value of the contract. So obviously what that do is it wipes new players out of the market, especially on the long side, because in the case that I just gave you, the international bankers have basically an unlimited checkbook. Margin requirement doesn't affect them at all. They just print the money to meet the margin. But the buyers coming into the market, why would they want to buy silver when they're paying, having to put up more money than the silver's worth? See, now I'm just giving you one hypothetical way that they could do it, and that would crash the market temporarily. But that's what it would be designed to do, is to scare the bejeebers out of people that are holding silver or planning to buy silver, when in reality that would absolutely backfire on them in the longer term, because it wouldn't change any of the fundamentals of the market. But what it would tell anyone that wants to buy silver is don't play the derivatives market, don't buy futures. The only way to buy silver is to buy the real thing. And so that would ultimately just drive silver through the roof.
Well, I think we're living in probably the latter days of the viability of the American dollar, because they have intentionally undermined it. Alan Greenspan knows what needs to be done. Anybody who's read his essay entitled Gold and Economic Freedom, it was published in 1966, will understand. He understands the importance of gold. He understands the fraudulent money system we have. And when he wrote that article in 1966, when he became chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank in 1987, he did everything wrong. He massively inflated the money supply. He supported President Bush's tax cuts in the face of increased spending, which created massive deficits. Alan Greenspan is a brilliant man. You have to be able to speak as obtusely as he does. They call it greenspeak. You really can't figure out what he's saying. In fact, Alan Greenspan is quoted as having said, if you think you understand what I mean, you're probably wrong. So he intensely confuses people. He has done everything wrong. He has objected and prevented any efforts to regulate the derivative market, and the derivative market is a ticking time bomb that's going to explode, and what it is, it'll take down the world banking system, according to Warren Buffett and Sir Julian Hodge. And of course we cover all of this in our syllabus. We just give you their exact quotations on the implications of the derivative market and the hedge fund market and the carry trade, and all of these things are on the verge of collapse. And so our plea to you is get the information and protect yourself, because if you don't, who will? And if you don't do it now, why a month from now, I really could be too late. Would you agree or disagree with that, Ron?
Yes, and I would go further and say we're at a very vulnerable time, because a lot of people, and I'll just use people that may be listening to this show, and me and you and other speakers, and they've been warning people about this, and silver was $4 or $5 an ounce, let's say a year and a half, 2 years ago, and here it is at $13 or $14 an ounce. And so what's going on in people's minds is, oh, my gosh, why didn't I buy silver a year and a half ago? But, gosh, it's too late. It's going up too far, too fast. I can't get in now. But you know, those same people, and I was in the market back in 79 when silver went from $5 to $52, the people that wouldn't buy it at 5 and wouldn't buy it at 8 and wouldn't buy it at 11 and wouldn't buy it at 15 were literally knocking my door down in a panic when silver hit 35 going to 50. And you couldn't even talk them out of it at that point, the same people. So people need to wake up to what's going on now and see where we're headed and take steps right now to protect themselves. Even if we have a correction, even if you bought your silver here and we did have that correction, I don't have any idea when it's going to come, but I'll guarantee you, I'll bet you a dollar to a dime that shortly after the correction, it will be right back up above where it started from and going even higher, because there's 10 people out there ready to buy every ounce of silver that's sold and gold. So the whole world is trying to get out of dollars, and there's hundreds of trillions of paper, you know, dollars out there around the globe, and just a few billion dollars worth of silver and not much more in gold. So
I think that the you're seeing people in other countries like China and India. They're a lot smarter than the average Americans. The average American trusts our currency. The people in India and the people in China don't trust their currency. They want something tangible that they can put their trust in. Well, of course, the real trust we have to put in is in our Lord, but certainly in the meantime, until he comes, we should make the preparations to protect our families. And, of course, people say, well, it's all in God's hands. I'm not going to make any preparations. I say, well, do you have fire insurance on your house? Why do you have fire insurance on your house? Do you have health insurance for your family? Why do you have health insurance on your family? Then why aren't you trying to protect them from the coming economic crisis that could impoverish them and leave them destitute? Well, let's go to Linda, who's calling from Castroville. Hi, Linda. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Sam. Pretty good. I'd just like to backtrack in your conversation with Mr. Brown. I don't understand what the two-tiered money system is.
All right. Ron, would you explain to Linda what the two-tiered money system is?
Okay. I first heard about this in the U.S. back in the mid-90s. Senator Patrick Leahy introduced a bill to Congress that would create a dual currency, which simply means you would have a domestic dollar, which could be used in the United States only, and then you would have an international dollar that would be used outside of the United States.
Would they have...
Go ahead.
Linda, I think... Linda, are you there? Linda, I'm going to have to get rid of Linda. You got a problem there. Ron, are you there?
I'm still here.
Linda, if you want to call back in again, but let me go ahead and try to evaluate that. Maybe Linda can actually hear us, and I don't know. We had a real problem there. But so basically they want a two-tiered monetary system, one monetary system using dollars for the American people and another monetary system, an international dollar. Is that right?
That's right. Just two different dollars. They did that in South Africa back in the 60s and 70s. Now, as I understand it, that bill went through committee, passed committee, and like they always do, they put it into place many, many years before they actually need it, and it's probably sitting up on a shelf somewhere gathering dust, if it was my opinion. Now, all of a sudden, we're reaching the point where the system is starting to unravel. The foreigners are starting to back off of buying our dollars. And just to add one, remember I talked about Russia buying, doubling their gold position, and that was going to cost them $7 or $8 billion of their foreign reserves when they really have $187 billion of foreign reserves. So with maybe 5% of their foreign reserves, they were going to buy or can buy 20% of world gold production. But Russia's holding of dollars is small compared to China, which is now what, up over $1 trillion in U.S. assets, and Japan holds many more. So you can see if the foreigners started dumping their dollars because they're losing confidence in them, then the dollar as we know it, the whole monetary system would collapse. So it would make sense to come up with a dual currency where you take the international dollar, do something to give it valuable value and credibility so the foreigners will continue to hold those dollars and not dump them. In the meantime, they cannot allow our system to collapse, so they have to keep the printed press rolling to keep the U.S. economy going, keep the real estate market bubble going, to bail out the GMs and the Fords and the Chrysler's and whoever else is failing out there. So it would make sense. I hope that kind of explains it.
Let me tell Linda, I actually lived in South Africa under this two-tiered system. And you had an economy in South Africa. And you could buy and sell using your currency, but you could not take currency outside the country. You were limited as far as removing currency. So actually, you could bring currency into the country, but you couldn't take it out. And when I left, of course, I was only able to get out a small fraction of what I'd brought into the country. Then, of course, you had an international rand, and that could be traded for gold because South Africa created gold. So if you had money, you could actually buy gold with your South African rand. But of course, the South African, it was very difficult for him to buy gold, but it was very, very easy for people on the world market to buy gold. And so, basically, they have to give the international currency some sort of value, and they could make it so that people would be able to buy gold or silver or the products with it on the international market. We would just not have access to that sort of thing. Would that be a fairly good statement?
I would say that goes along with what I was saying.
Right, and so let's go to Bill, who's calling from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Very well, sir. Bless you. Thank you for your efforts for the Republic. I just was wondering if...
You have to speak up just a little louder, Bill.
I can barely hear you.
Yes. Is that any better?
Go ahead.
I just wanted to check. I appreciate all your efforts for the Republic. I was curious if anybody in the audience had taken the time to... read William Cooper's book.
You mean The Bride of the Pale Horse?
Behold the Pale Horse,
right.
Yes. Wonderful discussion. If you want to really look at the whole broad view of social engineering that we're talking about here for short-term economic gain of certain classes within the society, I can highly recommend it. Could I give the ISBN?
Go ahead.
ISBN number is 0-929-385-22-5, Light Technology Publishing.
And, of course, the book is Ride a Pale Horse. I'm sure you could go up on Amazon and get it. It's a fascinating book. And of course, Bill Cooper was a conservative talk show host. He had a program on shortwave every evening. And shortly after Timothy McVeigh was executed, he played over and over and over again on his program a taped interview with a woman, a reporter, who had actually been invited by Timothy McVeigh to watch the assassination. And she had actually appeared on a nationwide radio program and said, "Gee, I didn't know that after you were dead, you kept breathing." And he would keep playing that tape over and over again. As this woman, who was there at the execution, said, "I didn't know that after you were dead, you kept breathing. I didn't know that after you were dead, you were kept breathing." And very shortly after, some police officers came out from town and shot him dead.
Shot him dead as a doornail.
All right.
Exactly.
All right, fine. Well, thanks so much for calling, Bill.
Thank you.
Appreciate your input. God bless.
Bye-bye.
And, of course, that same thing happened to our good friend Gary Webb. We interviewed him a number of times. He committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice. He shot himself in the head twice. How many people out there do you ever know who committed suicide by shooting themselves in the head twice? Well, go ahead, Ron. We've got a few more minutes. And, of course, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Ron, what should people be doing now? And, first of all, how can they get in touch with you and get that great information you offer?
Just call me, preferably during the day. If you'd call me at 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561. If you'll just call me, I'll be glad to send you some information. We go through so much here in just a few minutes, it's probably a little complicated for some people that are just new to this. So if you have any questions, just feel free to call me. That's what I'm here for, is to try to educate people on what's coming down in our country and help them to preserve what they've saved, so that they don't lose their life savings.
And, of course, Pete, who called in earlier, actually called to ask if he could come on the program and tell what had happened to him. And he had, of course, invested in gold and silver, and he's made since, in the last 6 months, about $100,000. And he said, can I tell the people that? I said, sure, Pete, come on and tell the people what you did. You know, because, of course, what we want is people to begin making preparations as far as their assets, as far as their preparations for food and for water and for protection, and have the medicines on hand, but also to prepare spiritually, because I believe that we're entering a time that will truly try men's souls. Well, Ron, of course, should people be investing in gold? Should they be investing in silver? Should they be investing in gold and silver stocks? Should they be investing overseas? What should people be doing?
Well, you know, I believe silver is going to outperform gold rather dramatically. In fact, there are people now saying that silver will outdistance and go ahead of gold in terms of price. Now, I don't necessarily go that far, but even if the gold-to-silver ratio went down to 5 to 1 or 10 to 1, then your silver investment would have outperformed your gold investment by 5 to maybe 10-fold. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have some gold in your portfolio, which you should. I would encourage people to buy the little 1/10 ounce gold coins, which could come in very handy if we get into a barter type situation. I also would tell people to buy, put 10 to maybe 20% of their precious metals portfolio into some well-selected gold and silver shares, because they are going to give you a leverage. Some of these shares that I've been following have gone up 10, 12, 15-fold in the last 3 years. So, you know, it doesn't hurt to have some money in there, and then when you make a big hit in those type of stocks, you pull part of it out and just buy real gold and real silver to salt it away.
And I keep telling people there are three rules of investing. Diversify, diversify, diversify. Don't put everything into one thing, but certainly there are certain things you may want to emphasize. But, I mean, cover as many bases as you possibly can. That's what the smart people like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and George Soros are doing. They know that difficult times are ahead. They're getting their money out of dollars. Well, Ron, we're just about out of time. You've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay, I would tell people, and I'm 62, and Dr. Stan, you're a little older than that, and there's a lot of people out there our age, but we've been through many cycles in the economy. We've seen the real estate market in a boom. We've seen it in a bust maybe 2 or 3 times in our life. We've seen the stock market up, the stock market down many times in our life. We've seen gold and silver up and down in our life. We've seen interest rates going up and down in our life. But the one thing that was consistent through all these cycles over the lifetime of all of us is that at the end of that cycle, the dollar as we knew it was still intact. We still had a Federal Reserve System that was functioning, and even though the dollar loses a little value each time around, it still was considered until recently the most valuable currency or strongest currency in the world. So people look at their gold and silver or any of their investments as just a way to get in and get out at the most profit. What I think people need to understand is that in this cycle, I'm totally convinced that it's the system itself that's failing. The Federal Reserve System that was created back in 1913, which is built on nothing but debt and fiat money, has run its course, and now that system is collapsing. So investing in gold and silver is not just a matter of making some money. It's a matter of survival. You're trying to put your assets into something that's tangible and real, that will act as a bridge from the failing monetary system today to whatever the new monetary system will have tomorrow when the system is collapsed. So it's very critical that people not look at gold and silver strictly as an investment. This is a survival hedge is what it is.
And so you may not make anything at all, but at least you'll be able to maintain some of your wealth. And this is really what you want to do. Remember what Alan Greenspan said. He said, deficit spending is simply a means of confiscating your wealth. And that's what it's all about. There are people who want to rob you of what you have and to impoverish you and impoverish the American people. And if you don't take the defensive actions now, why, of course, you're going to lose out in the long run. And I'm sure that Alan Greenspan knows what needs to be done. You need to read his essay, Gold and Economic Freedom. It's available on the Internet, or it's available in our new syllabus entitled Financial Tsunami. And I believe the financial tsunami is upon us right tonight. Rod, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. Again, your telephone number?
1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
All right, fine. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. We look forward to talking to you again in the next week, or maybe in the meantime. It's going to be an exciting time. God bless. Bye-bye.
Always a pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and once again, Ron's telephone number, if you'd like to reach him, is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561. And then, of course, we certainly want to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we depend on those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out 5 hours a day, try to educate people about the fact that behind everything today is a spiritual battle that's being fought for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. And the great tragedy is most people have no idea at all what's going on in the world today. So if you really want to understand what is happening, you really should get our new syllabus. It's called Financial Tsunami. There will be a DVD that goes with that. And then we have a new four-tape set. We call it Financial Armageddon, because that's what Stephen Rhodes, the chief economist at Morgan Stanley, had said some years ago. He said we have a 90% chance of having a financial Armageddon. And then we have a pamphlet we put together based upon five of my newsletters called The History of Money. We have a talk called The Coming Crisis or Coming Economic Crisis. It's available in DVD and or videotape, and of course it gives you the background of the history of the monetary system and how we got into the mess we are today. So your job is, of course, to get informed so you can protect yourself and your family, and then to tell others about our program, and we encourage them to go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And they can pull down our program there 5 hours a day on the Internet. And, of course, we do an early morning program on the American Freedom Network. We do one at 3 o'clock every afternoon, Pacific time, that is. That's an hour after we're, of course, on there back in Central Time. We do one at 3 o'clock Pacific Time on the Genesis Network, 4 o'clock at Radio Liberty, and then 2 hours in the evening on Radio Liberty. You can hear our programs on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. You can hear them on the shortwave. We're on Telstar 9 hours a day. And if you want to know more about that, well, you can go to our website. Encourage others to listen, to get educated, and then, of course, if they have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand the spiritual forces at work, let me recommend that. That's the book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and, of course, it's available also on video or a DVD, but it's all of the same story. There really are secret societies. There really are powerful people around to rule the world, and they're energized by the occult. Certainly one of the best single books we have is one that we carry through our ministry. It's called Fire in the Minds of Men. If you read President Bush's second inaugural speech, he talked about the fire in the minds of men. It refers to a book written by Dostoevsky about the world revolution. And the book, Fire in the Minds of Men, by James H. Billington, the Librarian of Congress, explains to you that there is a world revolutionary movement. And it is fueled by those who have adopted a different worldview. People have embraced the occult. One of the most important books in my library, Fire in the Minds of Men, will take you into the Illuminati and all the other secret societies that are there and you need to learn about. And then, of course, please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.